Hey, it's Brennan Kelso here, law grad turned law firm marketing specialist, founder of legalsites.com.au, and you're listening to the Better Law Firm Marketing Podcast. Now, this episode's a bit longer than normal. I did a presentation for the Scalable Business Lounge. This is a private group of law firm owners. Well, I'm pretty sure they're all law firm owners. It's a private group run by Carolee Fontanelli. I'll give you a link to her website in the episode notes below. Now, this group is for people who want to create the law firm of their dreams. Now, people who want a business that really serves their goals and their aspirations and where they want their life to go. Now, this presentation that I delivered, it's all about SEO. So I covered topics like, what is SEO? Why is it important? Three core principles of SEO. What website platforms are most SEO friendly? My top five SEO tips with a bonus tip. So I guess that's really six tips, isn't it? Then I gave some advice on what people can actually do for themselves to improve their websites, what to look out for when employing a third party like an agency or hiring an agency or maybe even employing a member of your team to do your SEO, like a marketing coordinator. I talked about what you could expect an agency to actually do for you and what you should probably be paying or what is a reasonable reasonable expectation for cost. And then I opened the floor to a bunch of questions. There were a lot of really good questions that were asked. Carolee asked a few of them. Some of the other members of the group also asked some really good questions. And I really enjoyed that part. And I think that you're going to get a lot out of this episode. So I really encourage you to give the dog a long walk today or have a really long gym session, go on a long drive, do whatever you got to do, but it's a good episode. Really encourage you to listen to the entire thing. As usual, if you want to support the podcast, please leave a five-star Google review. No, what am I talking about? A five-star review on whatever platform you leave. You can give me a five-star Google review if you want, legalsites.com.au, go for it. But the podcast, so please leave a review, share it around with anyone that you think would get value from this. Show me some love on social media. We've got Legal Sites on Instagram, TikTok. I don't really use Facebook a lot. It seems to be like Facebook's died, let's be honest. What else have we got? I'm on LinkedIn, Brendan Kelso, BrendanKelso. All of that stuff is usually that'll be in the episode notes. If you go to legalsites.com.au, you'll find out how to stalk me online. I'm going to stop talking. Let's get into the episode. Thank you so much for listening.
All right. Well, everybody, I would love to introduce you to Brendan Kelso. Brendan is from Legal Sites, and he is an expert in SEO and Google AdWords and all things law firm marketing. So I thought he was the perfect person to have on today to talk to us about how we can, what tips he's got for us to increase our SEO on our websites, but also what to look for if you're contemplating getting an expert on board. What to expect in terms of fees and what they'd be doing for you. I think that was sort of what we talked about, wasn't it?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'll let you take it away. And if anyone else pops in, I will be inviting them in as we go.
Perfect. Yeah, so Carolee's already said my name's Brendan and I run a business called Legal Sites. Now I guess I'll just get it out of the way to start with. This is not some sort of long-winded sales talk. You're not going into a marketing funnel after this. There's none of that stuff happening. Not that Carolee would do that to you anyway. So I just love talking about SEO and marketing. And if we end up working together in the future, that's cool. If we don't, it's totally cool as well. So I just thought I'd get that out of the way. So I did a law degree. I suffered through 5 years of uni, like a lot of you guys did. And, yeah, it took me a while to realize I don't know if I really want to be a lawyer, but I do enjoy running my own business. And I actually started a wedding DJ business when I started uni. So I was doing sometimes 3-4 exams a week, and wedding season would align very conveniently with exam season. So that was my life for a while. And long story short, finished uni and and created this business. So yeah, I mostly help small law firms with their SEO, their Google ads. I give them advice. A lot of them come to me and need a new website as well. And that's pretty much the bread and butter of what I do. I do a bit of social media, but I'm not really in the social media marketing space. It's not something I've really done yet, even though I've been asked to quite a lot. So what we'll cover today is there's going to be a few things. So first of all, like, what is SEO and why is it important? And forgive me if I speak a little bit too simple in some areas, but I don't know how much you guys know. And then we'll go and talk about what website platforms are generally best for SEO. I'll give you some of my top tips for SEO. I'll be talking about what you can do yourself to improve your website for SEO and what to look out for if you do want to outsource this and employ an agency or an expert to help you out, or even if you want to, you know, employ someone to help you out in that area as well, and what you can expect an agency to actually do for you and how much it might cost. So we'll just get straight into it. So what is SEO and why is it important? SEO is search engine optimization. When I talk about SEO, I'm just talking about Google. Now, there's all these other search engines out there. I don't use Bing. I don't know anyone who's using Bing or Yahoo or any of that stuff. So we're just talking about Google. We could, you know, there's YouTube. There's other search engines out there, but I think we all kind of want to know how we can get more visibility and clients through Google. So that's what I'm talking about. Now, essentially, SEO is all about a whole bunch of things you can do to influence Google to make your website and your website's content show up on Google in a higher spot to get more visibility so you can get more opportunities. Now, why is it important? More visibility on Google is going to give you more opportunities to get some of your target clients in. So I think it's pretty much a no-brainer. I think we already pretty much know why SEO is important, but it can be a bit challenging. So there's a lot of things you can do to help your website appear better on Google, but I'll just talk about the three core principles because they talk about 200 ranking factors. We're not going through all those today, and I'll probably just put you to sleep. So the three main things you need to focus on with your SEO is to have a really good website that people enjoy using, user-friendly. No one likes going to a website that takes 3 hours to load and has bloody pop-ups everywhere and you can't navigate anywhere, you can't find anything, and it's just a headache. So a website that people enjoy using, okay? We want to have good quality content on a website. Written content, very important, but we can also supplement that with podcasts. I know Cara Lee's got a podcast for her law firm, so that's great. Good videos, anything that can keep people coming to your website, keep them coming back. And we want people using your website and enjoying it and getting the information and the experience that they're looking for. Because Google, at the end of the day, is an information provider. So if we can make Google's job easier, Google will generally reward us. So we're talking about good website, good content, and good links. You might have heard the word backlink before. I think it can sort of scare people at times. Now, good links, we're talking about getting good websites to link back to our website. That's a backlink. So if Wikipedia links to an article that you've written, well, that'd be fantastic because Wikipedia is a really reputable website. So that's an extreme example. Maybe you've written something and maybe a good news website finds it and they link to you as like a source. They're referencing to that article that you wrote about a particular topic that's useful to their article. So that's a backlink and that's really good. Now, your website needs to have internal links as well. It's really simple. That's easy to do. So you might have an article about something to do with divorce, and maybe in that article you would mention something to do with maybe dividing assets, a property settlement. You would naturally want to link to that other article that is relevant. Okay, so if your divorce article mentions property settlement, you want to link to the other piece of content on your website that mentions property settlement. That's called internal linking. That's easy to do and that's really important as well. So those are the three core principles of SEO. And of course, I forgot to mention, I'm going to get through this stuff and then we'll definitely have some questions. So if you guys have any questions, write them down now and we'll definitely get to it. I don't want to just talk forever. So what website platforms are most SEO friendly And let's just get that one out of the way. So what I advise people, if you were to hop on Google and to search, oh, is Squarespace SEO friendly? You're probably just going to get a whole bunch of different opinions from some people will say, oh, it's fine. Some people say it's not, blah, blah, blah. Here's what I say to people. If you the best platform for you is the one that you can actually use. WordPress isn't necessarily better for SEO than Squarespace or Wix or GoDaddy or anything like that. And in fact, in some cases, WordPress could be worse because WordPress doesn't guide you as much as a website builder like Squarespace. Some of the more basic, you know, turnkey plug and play website builders might actually be better for your SEO because it will guide you through the process and it'll let you know what you have done and what you haven't done. WordPress is kind of like, you know, when you get into university and you're not getting spoon-fed everything like you would maybe when you're in primary school. So there's not necessarily a considerable difference between website builders with your SEO. Maybe you can generally do a few more things with your WordPress, but I wouldn't tell someone, no, you can't use Squarespace because it's crap for SEO. I just don't think that's true at all. Okay, so I'll get that one out of the way. If you have more questions about that, we can talk about it later. But I'll get on to the third thing we're going to cover today. We'll just smash through it. Top SEO tips. I'll go through five for you guys today. So the first thing I'm going to say is when we think about SEO, I really want to think about visibility. Okay, so look at Google search. You want your law firm to be as visible as possible. There are three main things to cover here. Google Ads, I know that's not technically SEO, but we've got to think about Google Ads. We've got to think about the map pack. So if you look for a family lawyer in Brisbane, you'll probably find Cara Lee's law firm on the map pack and you'll find a few others. So you want to be on that map pack. That's where the Google reviews are. You've seen those. If you get on your phone, you look for a family lawyer in Brisbane, you're going to see Google Ads usually, and then you're going to see the map pack. You want to be on the map pack and you want to get as many Google reviews as you possibly can because those things really matter. Now, when you scroll below the map pack, you'll see what we call organic listings. You might see OneFlare or Local Search, those types of websites. And you'll also see maybe a few law firms that are also featured in the organic listings. And you want to be there as well. Now, when you're writing a blog article that might be about, I don't know, parenting arrangements or something, if it answers a specific question, as a, you might not actually see a map pack and Google Ads. You might just see organic listings and blog articles there. So that's, I don't want to get onto a different topic right now, but that's one of the reasons why it is important to have good written content. When people are generally searching for a divorce lawyer or a criminal lawyer, they'll almost certainly see the map pack there in Google Ads. But if they're looking for a more specific question, they might not even see the map pack and they'll see organic listings. So Google Ads, Map Pack, and organic listings. You really ideally want to be in all those three places on the front page on Google search to maximize the amount of people who could see your law firm. Some people will not click on a Google ad. Some people will just click on the first thing they see. Some people will only go through the Map Pack because it's really important that they see all the reviews. And other people will just go and click on one of the organic listings. And some people will just not do the same thing every time. So we want to maximize opportunities. So my first SEO tip is to really think about being as visible on that front page as possible. Do not neglect Google Ads. Do not neglect the map pack. The next tip I'm going to give you is you need to have decent SEO tools to get decent results. So if you're just starting out and you're a beginner, you probably don't want to invest in something that's going to cost you over $200 a month at least, and it's going to give you way too many things to do, and it's just overwhelming. So the best place to start is Google Auto Suggest. Is when you know what that is, when you're typing something in Google, and it will give you a suggestion based off what you've been typing that is closer to what you're looking for. So Google Auto Suggest is actually not a bad way to start with getting some keywords. If you're using WordPress, just have a decent SEO plugin. I like Rank Math SEO, but But if you're using Squarespace or one of those other ones, they usually have an inbuilt SEO wizard or plugin that can guide you through optimizing your website. Google Search Console is a free Google product. You all need to be registered and have your website synced up on Google Search Console. Google Analytics is really important. That can give you an idea of how people are using your website, which pages are popular, which ones are not. And a fairly affordable, cheap keyword research tool that I recommend a lot is called Keywords Everywhere. I think that a lot of lawyers should just have Keywords Everywhere installed on their computer anyway. So it's an extension. So if you're using Google Chrome, you can add Keywords Everywhere to Google Chrome. And when you search for a criminal lawyer in Sydney, it'll actually give you information about how many people might be searching for that per month, what the estimated cost per click might be if you were to use Google Ads and so on and so forth. So Keywords Everywhere basically gives you useful data without having to open up some other program. You're just using Google Search and you pay like $10,000 for 10,000 searches, I think. It's very affordable. It's a good place to start. So it's kind of like doing Google Auto Suggest, but on steroids. And it's super free, very affordable, good place to start. So having good tools, really important. And if you're going to outsource your SEO to an agency, if they're not using more advanced tools like SEMrush or Ahrefs, then they're probably not worth the money that you're paying them. So they should be using more advanced tools for digital agencies. All right. So we're talking about top five SEO tips. I started off by saying don't neglect Google Ads. Always think about getting the most visibility as possible on the front page of Google, if possible. Google Ads, Map Pack, Organic Listings. Then I've moved on to the second SEO tip I've got for you, which is to have the right tools. And if you're just a beginner and you're not looking to spend a lot of money, Google Auto Suggest, good SEO plugins, or just the SEO wizard if you're using Squarespace or Wix, Google Search Console, totally free, Google Analytics, totally free, Keywords Everywhere, very affordable. And then mid to advanced, SEMrush, Ahrefs, Moz, there's a whole lot of them out there. Probably wouldn't recommend it for you. Even if you are fairly capable at SEO, I'm not sure how much time as a lawyer you should be spending using these SEO tools, because you could probably spend an entire day easily on these things. All right. Number three for SEO tips is to have a great website. We touched on it before. So we want to have a website that loads fast. If it doesn't load fast, that's bad for SEO. Google doesn't like that. Okay. Especially on mobile, people are generally less patient on their mobile device. If your website takes more than a few seconds to load, a lot of people will just click off. And if you're running Google Ads, you cannot afford that. That's just such a waste. So fast loading website, it's got to be easy for people to navigate. So you want to have a really useful menu in the header. So when we talk about the header, that is just the top part of the website. Usually there'll be a menu there where people can navigate and they can click on they can learn about the team, they can learn about practice areas, they can learn about how to contact your law firm and all of that. Easy to navigate. So many things for a good website. You can always go and look at my website, legalsites.com.au, and I've done podcast episodes about this and I've done articles about this, like what makes a great website. But it's just got to be easy to use and people need to find what they're looking for, because Google is an information provider. People are looking for things on Google and Google's meant to provide that information to them. Great website. Fourth tip for SEO, great content. Okay. You probably hear about this all the time. Content is king, blah, 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 blah. How much time do you really have to write blog articles? So that's one of the reasons why people pay me. But one of the things I would recommend is if you don't really have very good SEO right now, I would go for some of the low-hanging fruit. Now, a good example, because I've been working for Cara Lee a bit lately. I've been looking at Brisbane a fair bit. So if I was just starting out and really trying to get some family law clients in Brisbane, I wouldn't generally be targeting the keyword Brisbane family lawyers. It's going to be pretty tough. I would start by targeting something like Brisbane south side or Brisbane, like north side, CBD, city, and some of the main suburbs. I would be targeting regions of a city, similar with Sydney, similar with Melbourne. If you're in Melbourne, you might want to target Richmond, Werribee. You get the idea. If you target some of those smaller locations, they're going to be less competitive, and you're more likely to be able to show up in search results for that. And you can achieve it simply by creating a landing page. If you want to target clients who are looking for a law firm in Brisbane Southside, you can have a landing page targeting that location. You're more likely to get traction and get a high position on Google search results because it's less competitive. I would call that low-hanging fruit. You could even target keywords like female lawyers or male lawyers. Someone might be looking for a male family lawyer. They might be looking for a female criminal lawyer. They might be looking for an Indian lawyer or a Greek lawyer. That might sound surprising, but it's actually really common. People looking for a specific like ethnicity. Now, blog content, one of the other things I'll recommend is, so when you're creating your blog articles, create articles based on what we call this long tail keywords. So a keyword that is a phrase like a question, if you use something like keywords everywhere, it will give you long tail keyword ideas. And those are usually a question someone might have about, let's give a good example. I'm talking about family law a lot, but our assets split 50-50 after a divorce. That would be considered a long tail keyword compared to criminal lawyers in Brisbane is not a long tail keyword. So you'd write blog articles based on long tail keywords, and then you would be answering related questions based on that keyword. And a good way to get some supplementary questions that are related is to use something like keywords everywhere and use Google Auto Suggest, and it will show you what people are searching for that's related to that keyword. So you want your content to not necessarily, you don't want to be targeting stuff that everyone else is targeting because it's oversaturated. Okay, we want to write content that answers a question and then answers a lot of related questions because Google generally likes that. It's seen as having more authority. All right. So I talked about content. Now, links, I've touched on it before. Okay, so my fifth tip for SEO, good links. Now, this is challenging, especially if you're time poor. We talked about your website needs to have internal linking. So you link to related content on your website. That's very easy to do. But getting other websites to link to your website is not as easy. There's a few ways to do it. You could pitch yourself as a podcast guest. That's an easy way to get a link because a lot of podcasts will have websites and they will link to the featured guest. You'd probably see that with like Clarissa Raywood. She has the family lawyer podcast that she's got, and she'll often link on her website to whoever's been on that podcast. If you're just starting out a family law firm, I've got a client in Newcastle, Heberwhite Lawyers, and I created them a press release. And I sent that off to local media, and we got them a lot of write-ups in local media outlets because they're a new business. And it's surprising how easy it is to get featured in the media these days because the media is so hungry for content because they're having to pump stuff out 24/7. Simple press release, sent it out, and we got a lot of links and a lot of mentions. So getting other websites linked to you is challenging. I could talk forever about it, but if you have any questions, we can talk about that later. And I guess I'm not trying to sound like I'm trying to sell to you, but after hearing all of that, I think what I advise people all the time is I don't think lawyers should be sitting at their computers trying to do their SEO all the time. I think they've got too many other things they need to do. I think it's really important that you get an understanding of the fundamentals of SEO, an appreciation of it, and then you can effectively outsource it, so that you don't get screwed by someone who's just really good at selling to you, okay? And you have a better idea of what to look for. And once you understand something, you'll know who else understands it and who else is just full of it. That would be what I recommend. Like I do my podcast, and I don't suggest to my audience that they literally, you know, write down everything so they can actually do it themselves. I think they should learn it, understand it, so that they can get someone else to do it, so they actually have time to be a lawyer. So we talked about the top five SEO tips. I'll move on to the next thing I'm going to talk about, basic things you can do to improve your website. I won't talk about this for too long because I've kind of already touched on a lot of these things. One of the simple things you can do is just ask your friends, your family, your colleagues, get some honest user feedback. Like, do people like your website? What do they not like about it? I guarantee you'll get some, you know, constructive criticism. I think no website is really perfect, because you might not see some of the flaws in your website. You know, when you're doing an essay when you're in uni and you can't see the typos anymore because you've just been staring at the same thing forever. So get some user feedback. And I always like to actually, if I can, I'll often send a website to my girlfriend and I'll just watch her use it. And then I'll be able to see how she reacts to it in real time. Some people are too nice to actually give you honest feedback. And so you can actually watch someone using a website and see how they react. And if they're a bit confused by something, you go, what was it about that didn't make sense? So honest user feedback. A good SEO plugin that will help you optimize your website and pages. I'm not sure what you all have. I don't know what your websites are built on, but if you're using WordPress, RankMath SEO is my favorite. I don't really like Yoast. So a good SEO plugin. Other ways to improve your website. Yeah, keyword research. We touched on it before. So Google Auto Suggest, if you want to take it to the next level, do keywords everywhere. I would recommend that so you can actually get some real data, because Google Auto Suggest will give you an idea of what keywords people are looking for, but it won't tell you how many people are actually looking for those keywords. Keywords everywhere will. It'll give you an estimated monthly search volume. Okay, so that is a much smarter way to approach it, in my opinion. Now, once you have an idea of what keywords you should be targeting, you've got to place those keywords on your website in the correct places. It's hard to do this because I'm not sharing a screen right now, but maybe make some notes so you can learn about this later. But you need to have keywords in your written content. You should have them in the H1 heading. I'm sorry if you don't know what that means. The title tag and the meta description, those are important places to have it. So a common example, a lot of law firms, the keyword on their homepage in the title tag is homepage. Okay. Not good, totally useless. You want to have your primary keyword. If you're a criminal lawyer in Sydney, the title tag probably should be Sydney criminal lawyers on the homepage. And I'm happy to demonstrate what that actually looks like if someone has some questions. So keyword placement. And we talked about it before. You've got to speed up your website. How could you speed up your website? Well, your images. You need to have compressed images. Okay, don't compress them to the point where they look horrible and pixelated. But if you've got a high-res image that's just been uploaded and it's 10 megabytes, that's way too big. That's going to slow down your website. Google will hate that. So compressed images, a lot of WordPress has plugins that will do that for you. You can use websites that will compress your images before you upload them. That's also a really smart way to go about it. And you won't even be able to tell the difference. They look the same, but they're just not as heavy. So your website can load faster. So compressed images, you don't want to have videos that autoplay. It's really irritating when I go to a website and it's struggling to load because there's a video that is set to play automatically once you go to that website, and it just slows it down. I really hate it, especially when they're when they don't even have any sound and it's just like a video showing, you know, sumptuous landscape shots of Newcastle Beach or something. Totally useless. We don't want auto-playing videos. We want to compress images. We don't want to have, you know, sliders that will show you something and they'll flick to the side and you'll see another thing and it flicks to the side. That slows down websites. And your website might not even be slow. So how do you find out if you've got a slow website? You can use something like GT Metrics. Write that one down, GT Metrics. That's easy to use. That'll tell you if your website's really slow or not. Page Speed Insights, that's provided by Google. That's free. So GT Metrics, PageSpeed Insights, they're both free. That'll tell you if your website's really slow or if it's fine. it's probably going to be a little bit slow. Most websites are until they've been optimized. So those are some things you can do, you should be able to do anyway, to improve your website. So getting some honest user feedback, ensuring you've got a good SEO plugin, especially if you're using WordPress. Okay, keyword research. I said you can use keywords everywhere to give you some basic data. Keyword placement. I talked about a few things that are kind of hard to demonstrate right now, and speeding up your website. Okay, now let's get on to the fifth main thing I'm going to cover today. What to look out for when outsourcing it. So employing an agency, maybe even hiring someone to come into your team, maybe finding someone on, I don't know, Upwork if you really want to go that far. So first thing to be careful of is long-term, you know, restrictive contracts that really just serve the provider and not you. Okay. I've had a lot of lawyers come into me in the past, and they have had to get out of a contract after being with the agency for about 3 months, not happy. They need to break the contract and they've had to spend a whole bunch of money to get out of it. Not good. It suits the agency usually to lock in a law firm for 12 months. It's great for their cash flow, but it's not really good for the law firm unless they're getting results. Okay, so I'll be very careful of long-term contracts. They don't have an SEO agency. It's not like building a house. They don't have to go out and buy supplies for them to do a job. Okay, they should be able to just help you and do the job without guaranteeing, you know, 12 months of payments from your law firm. Now, that might sound surprising coming from someone like me, but I don't do that. I just do month to month with my clients, and if they want to cancel, they just give me one month written notice. Honestly, just can't be bothered with a contract dispute. If they want to leave, I'd rather just let them go. And I also think that if you are going to outsource it to a third party, it should be easier to terminate that agreement. Whereas if you're signing up to 12 months with an agency, that's harder than terminating an employment contract. Most people will be on probation for 3 to 6 months. So it just doesn't make sense to commit to 12 months with a third party, in my opinion. Now, do they walk the walk? So does this SEO agency actually have good SEO themselves? You know, if you were to look for, you know, I don't know, law firm SEO agency, do they show up on the first page, or do they just have bloody awesome, like horrendous SEO? Like, do they walk the walk? Now, are they clear about what they'd actually do for you? I think a lot of people in the digital marketing space are really guilty of sending through proposals with just a whole bunch of just, you know, the words don't really mean anything. So I think you've got to be really clear, like, what are they doing for you? Are they actually getting new links? How many links are they? Well, it's hard to say exactly how many links you can get a client per month, but are they clear about what they will actually be working on? Are they getting links for your law firm? Are they writing content? How much content? You know, roughly like how many hours a month are they going to be spending on working on your project? So they've got to be clear. Now, really important as well, does this SEO agency have similar clients to your business? This is a common red flag. I've had law firms come to me and they so-and-so recommended an SEO agency, and it hasn't really worked out with this mob, and I've looked them up and most of their clients are enormous corporations. I don't really think you're going to be a good fit for an SEO agency that has clients that are the size of Afterpay or, you know, Sony or anything like that. Like, I would be looking for a third party that is maybe a similar size to your business and has clients like small law firms. So they actually understand and appreciate businesses of your size. That's what I would recommend. So number six today is, what can you expect an SEO agency to do for you? And roughly what would you be paying? So I think if you are, as a small law firm, if you're paying for SEO, I think you should be getting written content. I think your SEO agency should be working on your internal links and getting backlinks for you, good quality backlinks. Got to be really careful with that because, yeah, I've had some clients and I've had to do a lot of tidying up because they've got a lot of links that are just doing them more harm than good. If you were to hop on Fiverr, for example, you've probably heard of that website where you can get freelancers to do things for you. Be very careful with that. A lot of them are just doing what we call black hat SEO. So they might just be posting links on really strange internet forums that are actually just doing more harm than good. So getting good links is challenging, but so worth it. And it really, I really believe in quality over quantity, okay? You don't need the most amount of links, you need the best links. So they need to be getting links for you. They should be fixing your website. I would be cautious of an agency that actually doesn't do any in-house website design and development. It's kind of hard really to do holistic SEO if you don't actually do any web design in-house and you have to collaborate with external web designers. Generally not a good idea. Your SEO agency should be doing a lot of work on your local SEO. A lot of law firms really are getting the majority of their clients in their local region, okay? So Google Business Profile is the thing that you use to get on the map pack where you get all your Google reviews, okay? They really should be optimizing your Google Business Profile and focusing a lot on your local SEO. They should be encouraging you to get lots of Google reviews, and I never shut up about that. So little tip as well is, if you're struggling to get Google reviews, you can try asking after the first consultation. I did get that tip from yours truly, Carly, which is not a bad idea, because some people might just not be totally satisfied with the result at the end of their legal matter, which is not, no fault of your own. Okay, if you can ask them for a review after the first consultation, might get a bit of better hit rate. And if you're a new law firm as well, it could take a long time before the matter is actually finalized, before you can finally get a Google review. Now, your SEO agency should be communicating with you, okay? That should be included in the invoices and in the proposal. Like, I don't have client meetings and phone calls for free. Like, I factor that in. That's taking up my time, but that's a service that I provide because I think they deserve to be, you know, kept in the loop so we can actually chat. So I think good communication, regular updates, meetings. From my experience, most of my clients don't really appreciate me dumping a gigantic PDF in their email inbox once a month with, you know, pie charts and stuff and keywords and all that. A lot of them don't really get a lot of value out of that. They generally prefer like a 20-minute phone call every now and then. And I think that a good SEO agency should be looking at the bigger picture. It's not just all about keyword research and, you know, Google Business Profile and links and all that stuff. I think they should be having regular chats with you about, are you getting media opportunities? Are you posting on LinkedIn? Like, are you working on your brand awareness? What is your social media strategy? I think SEO should be treated fairly holistically. Now, when it comes to price, it can obviously vary a lot. If you were paying anything less than $1,000 per month plus GST, I think be careful. Probably not going to get a lot for that based on what I've seen in the past. If you wanted to pay $500 a month for SEO, I'm sure there's someone out there who could do it for you. But to give you a better idea, it might just help if I say what my clients are paying. Most of my clients are paying somewhere around $3,000 per month plus GST, but most of them are not just getting SEO. So these people generally are getting SEO. They're getting Google Ads management, really important. They're getting, you know, regular updates with me and consulting, web hosting and web development. So it's kind of like more of a bundled package. Questions? That's it. I've been talking forever.
Awesome. That's great. I've got lots of questions. If anyone else has any questions, jump in.
Yes, I do. Hi, Brendan. Hi. And thanks, Carolee. I have just a couple of questions. When you say that you should be having like regular chats, how regular each month do you think is appropriate?
When I've got a new client hopping on board, I usually like to chat with them probably about twice a month at least. Because naturally they're going to be, you know, maybe a little bit stressed. Like, is this guy going to, you know, do what he said? Like, is he going to do as he says? But when we move forward and they're getting the results and, you know, they're busy with all the new clients, I generally aim for once a month to have a good catch up. I've got clients now that I call them once a month and there's nothing new to say. They're like, yeah, business is good. They're like, I don't want to work too hard, but I've got new leads coming in. Thank you. So yeah, I think once a month long-term is probably ideal.
Okay, thanks. One more question. In relation to Google reviews, so I'm a family lawyer and I do find it hard to ask people for Google reviews. And Carolee, I don't know, maybe you have some strategies around this as well. And I have heard someone talk about like a special way to ask people and I can't remember what it was, but it's one of those really awkward things. Is there sort of a way that you find works well?
Yeah, I'm happy to jump in and maybe Carolee can give some advice there. I'm a big fan in asking people when they're as happy as they'll ever be. Of course, you do the best job possible. If you've got a client that you know is not happy with you, obviously you're not going to ask for a Google review. But I send out an email and there's a link that you can get from your Google business profile. Have you got that link?
No.
Okay, that's fine. So you log into Google Business Profile and there's a link that you can copy and you send that to clients in an email or a text message and they can click on that link and they will go to the spot on the internet where they can leave the review. Super important, especially if you might have a competitor out there with a similar name. I've heard that before where people ask for a Google review and the client accidentally reviews some other law firm that has a similar name. So we don't want that happening. So that's a really good reason why we send out the link.
Okay.
And you could probably Google that, like Google business profile, link for reviews or something if you can't find it. But it's really easy. You log into your Google business profile and you should be able to find the link. It's obviously different for every listing.
Yeah. So Josephine, what we do in our firm, and it works quite well, is we send out a text message straight after the initial appointment. Now, we do this because we do a lot of initial appointments. We do, and, you know, you're not going to get every single person giving you a review, but we get probably 5 to 10 a month Google reviews, which or LawTap reviews, which we're actually stopping and we're now funneling everything into Google. And the way, so we just send out an automated text message straight after their initial appointment that said, thanks so much for coming for your initial appointment. If you got value out of spending time with your family lawyer and getting advice, here's the link to leave a Google review, and we just give them the link and that's it.
Yep. Great.
Yeah. And we don't ask for Google reviews like at the end of matters, but you will get Google reviews from clients that are, you know, really thrilled with your matter naturally. But if you wait for clients to give you reviews without asking, you're going to suffer.
They won't do it.
They won't do it. I've also got a few other strategies after being at this conference that I'm at now. There were lots of different things floating around there, which I'm happy to speak on at another time. One of the tips, there was a really good tip it'll come back to me. And I've also thought about doing an entire masterclass about Google reviews because it's actually a big topic and it's a scary because we're all terrified of getting a bad review. And it's going to happen. It will happen. I've looked at all of my competitors around me on the Gold Coast just to see how everyone's ranking. Everyone has a bad review.
Yeah, for sure.
Of the clients that we are looking after and the work that we do, it's going to happen. And all the Google reviews that we've had that are negative, they are so unjustified. Like they're not ones that you would hope leave, you know, like there are times that you don't do your best work in your firm. And then there's times that you bend over backwards for clients and they're never happy. And those are the ones that give you the bad news.
Yeah, for sure.
So the best way to counteract that is to just get more and more good reviews. So the strategy sending out after an initial appointment, if you're in family law, but it probably works in the only area I think would work best at the end of your matter is probably estate planning because those clients are always happy.
Yes.
But lots of other areas that they're not. Maybe a quick conveyance type matter might work really well as well at the end.
Yeah. even clients that are really happy with family law, they're just going to feel exhausted anyway.
Yeah, the clients get exhausted. They just are glad the matter's over. They don't want to ever see you again. It depends on the area you're in, but that's a good tip.
Thanks. Thank you both. That's helpful.
Anyone else have any other questions? I've got a few for you. So the first question is, what's the difference between, so with, for example, your pages and really like picking out a lot of different topics. So for example, like you said before about the long tailed keywords and different areas, are you best to do, say, blog articles for those or actual pages for those? Or it doesn't really matter whether it's a page or a blog article?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's a page or a blog article. Generally, the way I approach it is if I had a page about property settlement in family law, I would want to have an FAQ section towards the bottom. I would want that to be an accordion or a toggle box. Now, that's just mumbo jumbo for when you can see the question, you click on it, and then a drop down box appears with the answer. So yeah, you could see that on some of the websites I've built. So I would have, property settlement lawyers, some useful information, Google reviews, unique selling points, photos of the team. And then we get towards the bottom, we would have frequently asked questions, and then we would have about how assets are divided and maybe, questions about superannuation, all that type of stuff that would usually appear on the people also ask feature on Google search. I'm sure you've seen that. That's in a toggle box as well. You've got the question, you click on it, you get the answer. And you can have blog articles that cover that long tail question as well. A lot of people get scared about duplicate content. Here's the reality. Every website has duplicate content. You can't escape it. You can't have every page on your website having entirely original content. You don't want to be copying content from other websites, but your website should have a lot of similar content featured more than once. That's fine. But just rewrite it, rephrase it, ensure that you don't want to have pages that are literally the same, but it's okay to have a page about property settlement, answering questions about how assets are divided, and then have a blog article that talks just about how assets are divided and goes into more depth. That's completely fine. And the blog article itself could have a better chance of ranking on Google search because it's specifically targeting that question and that question alone, whereas the page that was about property settlement is a bit more holistic and not targeting that one question.
Yeah. So when you've got say services, so I hopped on the phone with one of our members the other week, and she only had a fairly new website, and she just had say one page that had services, and then the few services that she offered was on that one page. Are you better off, say, for example, let's talk about an estate planning firm. With estate planning, there might be, wills, there might be power of attorneys, there might be testamentary trusts, for example. Are you better off teasing out like every offer that you have and creating a new page for each of those things than having like one page with services with just all your services on that one page?
Yeah, that's more ideal. I know that it's a big task, and it's something that you achieve over time. If you're an estate planning law firm, it's going to take some time for you to get individual pages for all the key services you provide that you listed before, and contesting wills and and defending wills and all of that stuff. It can be exhausting, so you might have to start out with just a services page that just kind of outlines what you do. But the long term goal should be to break those key services for estate planning into individual pages.
Yeah. So get really micro about every little offer that you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one of the things that I've noticed is that I wasn't getting really good rankings, for example, on one of my pages, but then I've basically taken out. So for example, instead of confusing my pages, because we've got offices in Brisbane and offices in the Gold Coast, we were confusing our page by having Brisbane and Gold Coast on one page, for example. And so now we're ranking better because I've got rid of that completely. Mm. So on our homepage, we're not confusing Brisbane and Gold Coast. I've just focused on Gold Coast, and I've got an exact same homepage for the other offices, and that seems to be better. So you can, whether you're in a different location or have different service offers, offers going on, to tease it out as better.
Yeah.
Do you think?
That's what I think. I think that if you're a law, for law firms that are really just starting out, I think that they should get a website out there quickly that is decent, but is not the overall like long-term result that they want. Okay. You don't want to be waiting too long to get your website out there. The sooner your good website gets out there, the sooner it can start improving in rankings. I think I remember having a criminal lawyer contact me a while ago, and he had this vision of launching a website with, literally covering all of the criminal and traffic offenses and subpages about bail and plea bargaining and all this. And it was just like, I was like, it's just not going to happen. It's going to cost you a fortune to get that done in one go. Like, he kept referring to all these, top tier competitors that he wants to compete with, but they've been doing SEO for ages. Look at sydneycriminallawyers.com.au is a good example. Like, those guys have been at their SEO for ages. They rank really well, but that just didn't happen overnight. You don't just build a 1,000 page criminal law firm website. That's going to cost you a fortune in one bit. I also just had a quick little thing I want to touch on. When we talk about, all these sub pages and all this written content, some people ask me, no one's going to read that. Why bother? Who cares? Our clients just want us to fix their problem. And that's absolutely true. You're not usually writing that for people to read in depth, because they're not going to. Most people are not going to read even a fraction of the content on your, highly useful website. A lot of it's really there to satisfy Google. Google wants to see that Google's reading what you've written on your website. Google wants to see the keywords. It wants to understand that you are, this is a high authority website. So don't hire a copywriter who has a quirky, funky style of writing that you really love. That it'd be great if they did, but if they don't approach it from an SEO strategy, then it's probably not going to do a lot for you, because the reality is most of your target clients aren't even going to read all their really, cool writing style.
So, Brendan, that's a really good point. So, I see some lawyers, some law firm owners are really technical lawyers. And so when they do blog articles, for example, they write these very technical blog articles about case law or about legislation and things like that. But when it comes to your SEO, that's fairly pointless, isn't it? Because people aren't searching those keywords.
Yeah, it depends. They could be. But when I approach my written content strategy I try to make it evergreen. I generally don't want to write something that will be, invalid within a few months. Okay. We're trying to approach, I think evergreen content generally is the priority. Yeah, all those notes about recent, case decisions, I'm like, I'm not convinced about how effective that really is. Sometimes, and I don't want to offend anyone, but sometimes I think they're just doing it to sound smart.
Well, the thing is that, you want to be professional, and sometimes some of the blog articles on my website, that it's not like your best work, and then you go through and you chuck in all these keywords because that's what works. And when you read it, it's not like the most amazing piece of writing, but it's not written for the purpose of that. It's written for the purpose of ranking.
100%.
So I've got another question about directory listings as backlinks. So is that a good idea to jump on as many sort of local directories as you possibly can? And is it worth paying to be on some of these directories?
Yes and no. Okay. So when we talk about directories, we're talking about local search, yellow pages. There's a whole lot of them out there, isn't there? Mm-hmm. They still have value, There are so many business directory listings online that are absolutely worthless that no one uses. Okay. Should you pay for them? I think it really comes down to if you look for a criminal lawyer in Melbourne, look at the directories that are ranking well, and you generally want to be listed on those. Okay. The links that they're providing, they're called no follow links. So it's a piece of code that they put into the link, and it's telling Google this link is not super important. Okay. But it still has value. And the fact that that website is mentioning your brand name helps. Okay. You're probably not going to get a lot of clients and search traffic as a result of being listed on local search. For example, there's just so many law firms listed on there. But it's generally a good idea to have your name and your brand and your website on those websites. The more valuable links will not have the nofollow HTML coding in there. Sorry if I'm sounding like a nerd, but that stuff does matter. You do want to have, I'm not going to tell you how to check it because I think I'm just going to lose you all if I get into that. But you want to have a variety of links that are no follow and ones that do follow per se. So yeah, I don't want to lose you all there, but yes, directory listings do have their time and place, but you will not just get to the top of the Google rankings because you have found, you know, 500 business directories online of you and you have listed on every single one. No, quality over quantity. And don't neglect social media. So yeah, you definitely need your business on Facebook. Having a Facebook page for your business that links to your website, that helps. Even though that is a no-follow link, that's still valuable because Facebook is an enormous website with high authority. Instagram, LinkedIn. So don't neglect your social media channels. Even if you're going to get on TikTok, that can even help. Like that's considered good for your SEO to have your brand mentioned on TikTok with a link.
Mm. Interesting. Does anyone else have any questions about SEO?
Can I just ask a quick question? I built my own website on Divi. Cool.
Sorry, a bit hard to hear. You built your own website?
On Divi. Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, on what?
Divi, D-I-V-I, like it's...
Okay. Okay. Don't know it.
It's just a website builder on WordPress. But for example, if I employed someone like yourself with the back end of the website, can you go in there and do that yourself? Or do you have to build the website from scratch?
Yeah, Divi. Okay, WordPress plugin. So so what was the question? Like, you, just because, like, could I go in and actually use it and improve your SEO?
Yeah, like in the back end, or is it more like you telling me what to do sort of thing with that relationship?
Oh, no, I'd absolutely be able to help you out with your SEO. I some clients will just pay for a consulting session with me and I'll tell them what I'd recommend. Most of them never find the time to get around to doing it. But yeah, my clients are paying me to do the things that they can't or don't want to do or don't have time to do. Divi is just a plugin that enables you to build a WordPress website. And yeah, I would be, you know, getting in there and probably using the SEO plugins that I like, which is RankMath SEO. But when we talk, like generally when I talk about backend, I'm actually referring to hosting. But that's okay. Like if I log into your WordPress, I don't consider that working in the backend, but yeah, absolutely would be able to, you know, work on a WordPress website. Even it's like, I don't use Divi. I use Elementor Pro to build my WordPress websites. Cara Lee does as well. That's what I recommend, but yeah. Okay. I'm impressed that you were able to build your own WordPress website.
It took many hours.
Yeah.
Lots of good things. But now I'm used to it. Like, I'm familiar with it, but I thought if I'm going to hand it over, like pay eventually someone to do that, how does that actually logistically work?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't think a lot of law firms should be, lawyers shouldn't be, you know, writing their own content all the time and doing link outreach and all that stuff. It's just going to take way too much time away from being a lawyer and running your business.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting.
Have you been doing your own SEO?
Yes, sort of.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've been there. Yeah, I received some like a grant from like a business grant. So yeah, I've got a little bit of knowledge in the back end, but it's time. So it's that consideration of, yeah, obviously maximizing outsourcing, but I'm not at that point. But hopefully I will be soon.
Yeah, that's impressive. I struggled to make my first WordPress website.
So with SEO, do you think that there's, when you employ an agency, for example, do you think that it's a forever ongoing relationship, or do you think an agency can get you to a place and you can remain there, say, ranking, you know, with 20 keywords that you're really happy with on the front page?
No, I think it's a good question. So, first of all, I'll answer that question, then I'll answer another one. So, no, you don't need to be with your SEO agency for, you know, forever. Definitely not. Really comes down to your goals. So you could be with them and then you're getting the results you want. You've got good rankings and you could, you know, say, hey, look, we're just going to see how we go, you know, flying solo for a while. And if the rankings start to drop, or if we want to, you know, start ranking for other practice areas and all that, you might want to get back in touch with them and reactivate the SEO. So it's always going to come down to the law firm. It is also influenced a lot by your competition. There could be some new people who come in and start to take some of those rankings away from you. That is a common thing that happens. Naturally, the saturated major cities are going to be much harder to achieve an SEO result and then maintain it. Whereas, you know, somewhere like, I don't know, Dubbo or something might be a bit more straightforward. And I just also want to touch on something, a common question. I'm sounding like an influencer, but a common question I get asked is, can you just do like a once-off SEO boost, or do you really need to do monthly SEO? Yes, you can do a once-off SEO boost. As I was touching on before, websites with a lot of useful content, like sydneycriminallawyers.com, for example, .com.au, that's a long-term play. It's very unlikely you'll be able to get something like that with a once-off SEO boost. So really comes down to your goals and your objectives. You might not want to work that hard and you might just want a certain amount of, you know, clients per month, and you might be able to achieve that with much less, you know, investment.
Yeah. Okay. Something else I spoke to someone about recently was the idea of, like, say, for example, in this group, we've got, nearly 60 lawyers in this group who all offer different areas of practice. And so a suggestion that I had for her was to reach out to some of the people in the group where they can swap blog articles for complementary services. So, for example, an estate planning lawyer could party up with a family lawyer and they can swap blog articles about, to cross-pollinate and then swap links. Mm-hmm. Is that type of thing helpful, do you think, for SEO?
Yeah, I think that is. I think that's an easy way to get backlinks, is to collaborate with, you know, your peers. Because naturally, someone who's a direct competitor is probably not going to want to help out your SEO. But yeah, absolutely. We call that guest posting, by the way.
Yes. So there's a lot of opportunity, even just in our group, that everyone, you know, could collaborate and guest post on each other's. And even if you're a family lawyer, for example, and one's in Perth and one's in Brisbane, there's no reason that you can't swap links, for example.
Mm. Yeah, and you could even take an easier or a different approach to that. You could just have like a page with, you know, businesses that you recommend, organizations, charities, all that, sporting clubs. You can call it partners or whatever, and you could recommend a law firm that provides a service that you don't provide. There's definitely a time, like guest posting though is not just great for links. It's, you know, you might write an article for another law firm and they might share that on social media. The article might rank really well on Google. Maybe they have better SEO than you, and you can piggyback off them and write a good article, and then that'll get you some attention that you might not have gotten otherwise. So just having a page where you link to businesses that you recommend is you know, that's like a good place to start. But I think guest posting is also really important.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great idea. I think we should do something like that. Invite, maybe in the Facebook group, I can put a post up to invite everyone to collaborate. Does anyone else have any questions for Brendan?
Just one thing. So just to clarify, it really sounds like getting a blog on your website is pretty important for this SEO purpose, if nothing else.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Written content, really important. Good way to do that is with blog articles. Highly recommend that you have really fleshed out practice area pages, though, that don't just okay. You know, kind of just briefly outline things. If you were to... what do they say? They generally say like your pages should have at least 600 words on them, at least. I think that I've seen graphs before that show that like the majority of like top ranking blog articles on the internet generally have like over 2,000 words. So
that's even more important than the blog articles. Get that right first, then get onto the blogs.
So yeah. I really believe in having really detailed, useful practice area pages, and blog articles are also really important. As I sort of touched on before, sometimes if you're going to answer a question about dividing assets in property settlement and target a specific long-tail keyword, that blog article is probably more likely to actually rank in a higher spot because you're just targeting that question, whereas your practice area pages will promote your services as a property settlement lawyer. And then you're going to provide a lot of detailed supplementary information on that practice area page. So if someone's looking for a property settlement lawyer, the goal is that they are going to find that practice area page in a top spot on Google and hire you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And blog articles really good for getting, you know, you can share a blog article very easily on social media and getting people to come to your website, use the content, hopefully come back. Returning visitors are really good as well.
Okay.
Yeah, we want people using your website as much as possible. Like, yeah, even as I said, like having videos or having a podcast that gets updated once a week, we've got returning visitors. We've got people on a website listening to a podcast for an hour, using a website for an hour. Like that's a good ranking signal. Like Google likes to see positive user experience.
Yeah. A question about Google Maps and my Google business. There's so many people now who are remote working and they don't necessarily have offices. And so sometimes people are struggling with doing maps or my Google business because they don't have an address as such. What's your advice around that?
I would advise getting, what do we call them, like a virtual office, paying as little money as possible so you can use their address. And, yeah, you would want to have – you don't want to put your home address up there, obviously, but you can have a listing on Google Business Profile without listing a physical address, but it's not ideal for SEO.
Adele just said that she pays $15 a month for her address.
Nice.
Yeah, which is well worth it.
Where do you get that from?
It's just a local virtual address place in Toowoomba, and yeah. So they give out virtual addresses for everyone, and that includes if mail comes to the office, that includes them sending it up to me as well. Mm. And it also includes, you know, people can come into the office and drop off stuff and pick up stuff and that sort of thing as well.
Yeah,
so I'm looking for another one as well. So, yeah.
Very good.
All right. Any more questions? Does anyone have any other questions? It's been really, really helpful. I know there's been lots of tips that everyone's been writing down today. So it's been awesome. If people do want to find you, Brendan, how can they do that?
I probably should just dump my website address in the chat. That's probably an easy way to do it, isn't it?
And you've also got a podcast as well for people to listen to.
I do. So let's get this microphone back. It's Better Law Firm Marketing. That's my podcast. I'll dump my website address in there. I'll dump my email. So it's legalsites.com.au. There we go. There's my email address and podcast. Well, it's all over my website, but I'll just write it in here anyway. Better Law.
So if people want to work with you for SEO, you do an audit initially.
Mm-hmm.
Do you charge for that audit?
Ooh. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Jesus. Do you charge people to do the audit, or how does that work?
So that's just all part of the monthly service. So my clients sign up with me on a month-to-month basis, and one of the first things I get into is actually looking at, you know, what's the current state that we've got. So that is an audit, and I'll go through their website and I'll make sure that are they synced up on Google Search Console? Are there any technical issues? All of that stuff. So I do offer once-off SEO boosts, but the majority of my clients have been with me for a while, and they're on month-to-month programs. And I think that if I was to just do an audit for someone and to send them through all of my constructive feedback, I don't really know what they're going to be able to do with a lot of that stuff, because I think it really needs someone who's got the time and the expertise to actually fix it up.
Well, SEO is kind of like a legal problem, really, isn't it? Where clients come in and they say, you know, I just want you to write one letter to the other side. And they think that that's going to resolve it. I think SEO is fairly similar to that, where it's sort of an ongoing commitment.
Mm. Yeah. Generally, yeah. I think that's the way to approach it.
To get the result. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been great having you on, and it's been really informative. I hope that everyone's got plenty out of it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, everybody, we will see you all next week. It's going to be a hot seats next week, same time, same place, although I'll be in Mexico next week, not Nashville.
Thank you so much. Thank you both. Thanks, yeah, have an amazing time, Carolee. Thank you. Thanks, Brendan.
Bye.
Well, there we go. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I really enjoyed delivering that presentation to those people. They were really keen to learn. It was a really good vibe. So if you want to learn more about Carolee Fontanelli, there's a link in the description. Go and check out the Scalable Business Lounge. And I'll include a few links for me and for my business, legalsites.com.au. There's a free law firm marketing plan you can download from legalsites.com.au. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss out on an episode. Please leave a 5-star review, share it around, and thank you so much for listening today. Have a great day. Have a great week. Cheers.